Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Those people that are new might be unfamiliar with my voice. My name, again, is Peter Mingles. We've been hosting this radio show. Actually, I own buildingfortunesradio.com since the beginning part of 2013, tail end of 2012. And one of the things that I wanted to do is have a platform for people doing the right things in home-based businesses. And I started a while back, like I said, way back when, and I knew a gentleman named Ray Gebauer from even previous to that, and then I saw his name across a feed of mine. I think it was on one of the social networking things, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stop. I'm going to call Ray, catch up with the things that he's working on, and I'm glad I did, because I told him what we were doing. He told me what he was doing, and I said, you know, it'd be really great if you could give a little bit of time maybe every week towards Building Fortunes Radio to be a great value add, as well as maybe even a little commercial for you. There's a lot of people that are looking for home-based businesses, and they want the right person to work with. So this would be a good thing. So we've been doing this for a real long time. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Ray-Gebauer, you'll be able to hear this as well as the previous radio shows. So I'm going to kind of keep my introduction a little bit short and light, just to say thanks, Mr. Ray Gebauer, for being here on our radio show. So thanks for being here, Ray. I am going to unmute your microphone one more time. I know you came in just on time. We'll do it again. There you go. So you should be live.
Okay, it's always better to be live than dead, right?
That is true.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I have a sad story to share. Something disturbing happened 23 hours ago. I considered not coming on the show today because of what happened, and it actually ties into the series here. We're in part four, you know, the secret cure for you know, stress and anxiety, fear, and depression. But what happened, we have a beautiful dog for 13 years has really enriched our lives, just fantastic animal. And last few weeks, all of a sudden, she started sort of going downhill, getting slower. At one point, wouldn't eat anything. Got her eating again, but then eventually she wasn't walking. And then last night, she was just breathing really fast. I thought, I think it's coming to the end. I said, I don't think she's going to make it through the night. And about half an hour later, after thinking that, she just stopped breathing. And at 9:15 last night, she died.
That's so sad.
So, yeah, really sad, you know, especially when you're really close and they're precious. And interestingly, the last 3 weeks, the pastor where I attend has been doing a series on grief, you know, and which has actually been quite good. And all of a sudden, I'm in a position where I'm in grief and life. It's really sad. And a lot of people, you know, stress is pretty bad. I mean, a lot of us, under a lot of stress, sometimes it's more fear and anxiety. Sometimes it's from the anger side, and sometimes it's more on the depression side. Depression, I think, unless it's chemically based, is really comes out of grief. And so I'm going to talk about grief tonight and how the four dimensions of complete love, of caring, connecting, committing, and creating value can help address this challenge of loss and the emotion that comes out of that loss, which is often grief. The emotion isn't always grief. I mean, you can lose your job and go into depression and grief and sadness, or you can lose your job and go into anger or into anxiety, or maybe you're in, even into happiness because now you're free from the job you hated. So how we react to loss depends on our perspective at the time and our programming. But when the loss is tonight we're talking about loss and how it can often create, you know, sadness. And in the Chinese medical model of the five elements that I've been using since 1978, I think it's very useful. You know, as I've mentioned before, there's the five elements: fire, earth, metal, water, wood. And one of the elements is called the mental element, which has to do with the emotion attached to that is sadness or grief. And we all have times of sadness and grief. And when something happens, a loss of the kind of magnitude where you go into, you know, sadness and maybe even depression, and depression isn't bad as long as you don't stay there too long, that often, most often triggers memories, earlier memories of times where you also had a significant loss. And so all of a sudden, these memories sort of stack up. Oh, yeah, this loss reminds me of when, like for me, you know, this triggers memories of losing my wife to cancer and losing my little sister to cancer. My mother died, you know, about 3 years ago. So I was there when she took her last breath and I watched in the monitor. I saw her heart go down to, you know, to 20 beats and then down to zero, you know. My father died 3 months before I was born. And there's been other losses, you know, in relationships and plus, you know, losses in business, you know, having my business stolen from me. So loss is something that we all have to deal with. And in fact, every emotion, I think, is tied to loss. Happiness is tied to loss inversely. So the opposite of loss is gain. So we feel happy. But all the other emotions, you know, like empathy or sadness, you know, that's feeling for someone else's loss, and sadness for your own loss. You know, fear usually has to do with a potential loss. Maybe it could be loss of your life or loss of something. And anger is another way to respond to loss of the injustice aspect of it. But tonight we're going to focus on the grief. Now, loss has to do with a loss of value. I mean, if you lose a penny, like, no big deal, right? You're not going to get depressed over that, or even maybe a whole dollar. But the more valuable something is in your perception, the greater the sense of loss and the greater the sense of grief or sadness or sorrow. So the most severe loss is not just something where you lose value, like losing money, losing an investment, or losing your car. I remember when they repossessed my car back in 1994. I still remember it clearly. But the most severe type of loss isn't just the loss of value. It's the loss of connection. So if you lose something, like you lose your phone, you know, that could be almost devastating, but you haven't really lost a connection to a person. So when you lose a beloved, you know, pet, or you lose your parent or a child or a good friend, you know, they die, or you even lost a relationship like in a divorce, it's not just the loss of the value, but the loss of the value of the connection. And that's where it hurts the deepest. And it's really critical that we give, first of all, space to going through that process of whatever loss it is, particularly if it's the loss of a person or a pet, where you're really attached and there's a healthy, deep connection. So when you lose the connection, you know, all of a sudden it's like you're in shock. You know, how could this happen? Even if you know your parent is going to die, your mother or father, you know, pretty soon because of their health conditions. But when it does happen, it's like it's still a shock, like getting slugged in the stomach, you know, or punched in the face. And even though you knew it was coming. And so one mistake that you can make is like, well, just not deal with it and just sort of try to put it aside and like bury it and just go on and use distractions or entertainment or maybe some kind of addiction or, you know, binging on stuff and never deal with it and, you know, sort of burying it. And then, but you don't get rid of it. You just put it out of sight, out of mind. But then it festers and it's always going to be an unresolved trauma that's going to affect you the rest of your life. And the next time you have another loss, it's compounded because you have a previous loss that was never resolved. So you've got to take time to face it face to face and feel the pain, feel devastated, feel like you want to die or something. It's like, this is, I can't handle this. You got to face it for a period of time so you can process it and not be stuck with that pain and that of loss and the grief for the rest of your life. That's going to affect you the rest of your life in ways you may not even realize. So just to tie this into what I've been talking about the last 3 weeks, a little more integrated, what I'm endeavoring to do is to apply the four dimensions of what I consider mature love, complete love, to stress in life. The four dimensions are caring, connecting, committing, and creating value. So, and I see that as a way to cure or escape the stress or the fear or the anxiety, depression, by putting your attention on those four elements, those four dynamics of love. So, and that's what we've been talking about, and how to actually measure. And last week we talked specifically about how to apply the triple A's to this dynamic of positive attention, appreciation, and activity as a way to more fully live out the four dimensions of love. But this week, focusing more on the depression and grief and loss, it seems to me that while all four of those dynamics still apply in this situation, the two that have the biggest impact in healing and recovery is, I think, the second and the fourth ones, which is the connecting and the creating value. So the reason I say that, and I just made all these connections just today as I'm processing through this myself. You know, do I want to even talk tonight about anything? Skip it, or and I thought, well, I could talk about what just happened, and, you know, sort of fits into the series. So I started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, it's the loss of connection that where the pain is, but that's one of the dynamics. Dimensions of love is connecting. So it's like fighting fire with fire. You lose a connection. Then if you focus on this dynamic of connecting, it can help you handle the pain or the trauma of the grief. In fact, before I go into that, let me just give you just briefly the three major potential benefits that we can get in dealing with our grief and loss and depression in a healthy way so that you recover so it doesn't like damage you the rest of your life. First of all, when something tragic happens or just a deep loss, it's always a loss of value. And so when we lose something of value, it deepens our appreciation of that value that we lost. And then we can generalize that whole dynamic of appreciation of value to the rest of life. Okay, so you lost one thing, but there's so many other good things in life that we can appreciate. Because oftentimes the very thing we just lost, we didn't have full appreciation of it until we lost it. So it sort of triggers, or at least gives you an opening, an opportunity to and broaden your appreciation of life, of all the other things that are still in your life, all the other connections. So that's one potential benefit that's, I think, inherent in healing from the trauma of loss. The second one is it gives us an opportunity to have more compassion. You know, when you lose something of value, particularly a human connection, and I'm including pets with that, we have more compassion for others who, when they have their loss. If you went through a time of grief and you know, grieving and sorrow and depression, and then you connect with someone who they're going through it right now, you can identify, you can empathize and have more compassion. So it really can deepen your sense of compassion for them having their self in some kind of similar loss and the grief that you went through. And you, by looking at these potential benefits in grieving and you know, fully dealing with it, what can really come out of this, you can become a more mature person. And you don't want to too prematurely jump into the mindset, well, what doesn't kill me will make me stronger. Well, I like that a lot, but this isn't the time to run into that cliche. Because when you're facing the sorrow, you don't want to be, you know, just minimizing it and avoiding it by saying stuff like that. Save that one for another occasion. You've got to feel the pain, and it takes time. You can't get over this in 10 minutes. You know, it might take you 30 days, you know, dealing with it. So you got to give it space and time and realizing that you can come out a better, stronger person, more mature, more compassionate, a person who appreciates more. And the third potential benefit I see, it gives you an opening or opportunity to connect more deeply, because the most painful losses, it always has to do with connection. And so when we lose a valuable connection with another person or your pet, it makes us more aware of the value of connection. And so you lose one connection, and you can never really totally replace that loss, but it gives you more awareness that, well, that's what I value in life, connecting, which is part of what love is. That's one of the four dimensions. So it gives us a sort of opening to connect more deeply with other people, you know, to somewhat make up for the loss of connection. We need to stay connected. And unfortunately, the political and social environment right now is pushing everyone the opposite direction, from connecting to disconnecting. You know, for the safety of all, you know, keep your distance, 6 feet away, you know, all this, I think it's nonsense. But the general effect is we are less connected. We're more isolated. And what's coming out of that? More mental disorders, more suicide, you know, more violence, more homicides, because just like we need oxygen, we need to be connected. And so when we lose a valuable connection, then that's why it affects us so much. And you've got to deal with it, or otherwise it can be, you know, like poison your soul the rest of your life, and it can adversely affect your future thinking and how you deal with people. You know, some things, when you go through it, it makes you bitter or better. And we have to be careful to not fall into the trap of bitterness. When something really tragic happens, you know, it's okay to blame God. I don't think he is to blame, but if it feels like it, go ahead and blame him. Have a talk with God and how you feel and how you see it. You may not be seeing it accurately, but tell God the truth. And why you ask, why didn't he stop this? Why couldn't he step in? So you got to be real. So, and that's one of the, I guess, other benefits of going through grief and sorrow it gives you an opening to be more real. If you take that, I mean, you have to be real. You just put it aside and pretend it never happened and try to push it in the background. But it's going to haunt you the rest of your life and adversely affect you. You have to resolve these traumas and the loss of connection, loss of value, especially the value in a personal connection can ruin someone's life emotionally unless you process through it. So what can you do? How can you apply the four dynamics of love, the four dimensions of love? Well, we always talk about compassion. That's like care. That's caring. So it can deepen your capacity to care and compassion for others and their losses. So that makes you a more mature, healthier person, more able to help and love others. Connect. I mentioned that briefly. When you lose, well, so that's a loss. So we need connection. You know, even the Bible says in Proverbs 3,000 years ago, says he who separates himself rages against all sound wisdom. And so disconnection is foolishness, and wisdom is connecting with God, with neighbors, family, and, you know, as many as possible, with depth, with authenticity, transparency, vulnerability, being real, and being careful and honest and loving and humble. But we all need to connect more deeply. And so when there's a loss of connection, one of the things we do is look for how can we connect with people, especially people who can empathize with us in our sorrow and grief. I mean, some cultures, you know, it's a standard thing when there's a loss, significant loss, you mourn a whole year, or in some cultures, 30 days or 80 days. You know? So you've got this time. You can't just get over it in a few minutes. And the other way to deal with depression and grief, sorrow, and sadness is to create value. That's the dimension of love. So you got to focus on connecting with the right people, and committed to the long term, the picture, the third element, commitment. And the more you focus on how can you love others by creating value for them, it helps heal the wounds of your own sorrow from your loss. Now, you still got to deal with that directly, but you want to integrate with that thinking of how you can help others, not as a distraction, but as part of your healing, because ultimately that's the purpose of life anyway, I think, is to create you. Well, it's really all for the caring, connecting, committing, and creating value. But ultimately, you want to be creating value for people. And, you know, the studies show people that more, even people who do a lot of volunteer work, they're healthier, they live longer, happier. And so when you look back and you have a disaster or a tragedy, you do have to sit with it and just feel the pain for a time, but to get out of that place, you've got to focus on reconnecting and creating value. And that will accelerate your healing and solving the trauma that you've gone through. And because you don't want to, you know, sadness and depression is normal and it's essential to feel that sometimes. I mean, even Jesus himself, in the shortest verse in the Bible, it says Jesus wept. You know, he was sad, and he cried. And so it has its place. So does anger. It has its place. And fear, and all of the emotions are important and appropriate times. We need to have all of those emotions. You just don't want to get stuck in any particular emotion all the time, including even happiness. You know, if you just sort of artificially make yourself happy all the time, well, you're being part of life. Life isn't always happy. I mean, we all want to be happy, but there's times where you need to feel sad and to feel mad and to have some concern and anxiety, just not too long. Well, I'm just about out of time, but I hope this is helpful. Because, you know what, it's inevitable that we're all going to face times where we have a significant loss, and especially when it takes you off guard and you feel like you're down for the count. But, you know, there is light on the other side, especially if you deal with it intelligently, and maybe you need a therapist. But you do have to deal with this face on, and then I would say you want to apply these four dynamics of mature love, particularly reconnecting, connecting more deeply, and going out of your way, putting more attention on creating value for others. And when you do that, it affirms your own value, so you feel better, you feel more complete, because when you lose somebody important, you feel sort of incomplete, out there missing. You know, my beloved pet, Coco, is gone. Missing. I buried her last night in the dark. And so she's gone. But the sense of connection is there, and it gives me an opportunity to become more mature if I process it, go through it, and learn from it. And so we don't want to get stuck in our grief, but we do have to deal with it in a way that where we grow and become better people. And as we become better and more mature, we're better able to make the world a better place as we love each other, the world. So I think that's all I have to say for tonight. Peter, do you have any comments or questions?
I have a bazillion comments about pets and all that stuff, but I'll reserve them for now because we're running out of time. But it's, first of all, I'm glad you were here. I'm glad you shared this. It was different than your usual stuff. But it was really very heartfelt as well, and because these are real-life situations that people have to process their way through. Before we run out of time, please give people your contact information so they can get in touch with you.
Thank you. Yeah, if you find in touch with me and have a conversation, please do. Conversation about possibilities, or maybe you're struggling with depression or grief or anxiety or stress, and I think I can help you, but I can't help you if we don't connect. We talk about connection tonight, right? So we can connect this over the phone. So my phone number is 602-206-926. That's my direct cell phone number, so you can call or text me, and so don't be bashful.
One more time. You broke up a little bit when you were mentioning it. So it's the phone number is 360-206-9266.
Yes, correct. Yeah, 360-206-9266. So thank you for listening. God bless you all. Love you all. And I hope this makes a positive difference for your life.
It sure does. Thanks. Yep. Thanks for being here. We're going to catch you next time. And thanks again, Ray, for doing the radio show. We'll see everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.